Dwayne is our former interim preacher, served with us here for 10 months during our interim transition time together. And, you know, as Dwayne was leaving his ministry with us, you'll recall that he was headed for some major surgery. And as you can see, he's as robust as ever. And in fact, he didn't waste any time. That old Dwayne Story energy kicked into high gear real fast. I think your surgery was it October, November? And then by mid-December, he was already beginning another interim pastorate. And that's where he's serving today as interim pastor of the Warren Christian Fellowship down in the Portland area. He still serves as director of development at Western Theological Seminary, also in Portland. And we love you, Dwayne, and we know you love us. And we welcome his wife, Susan, here today also. Dwayne, will you come?
Wow, what a joy and a delight for me to be here. And I see the mayor is gone. Okay. We're going to get this straightened out right now. I only wear the tie because I thought the mayor might. And he's gone, so the tie's coming off, all right? All right, we're all right? Okay, good. Wow. Congratulations. I am so excited about you being in this building and what this building means and what it represents. Many of you don't know, I became acquainted with the church about 2 years ago, began to talk to elders and staff and Don, and there was a time frame there early on where they weren't sure 3 months from that point in time the doors were still going to be open. But God worked through you, and God is always working through his people. And you kept going, and you prospered. And today, after those months, and I remember being your interim when you launched this building. You launched this in the mud and the rain. I mean, it was really bad. And I mean, you know, every week we rain, but you got enough time to launch that and have a groundbreaking. And you were almost done when I left there at the end of October. So what a joy it is for me to be with you today. I love you. You're special to me. I brag about you everywhere I go. I talk about Evergreen. My heart is here. If I lived here, I wouldn't even visit another church. I'd be here. So I've asked the pastor if he would be willing to move the building and all of you down to Warren, and we'd just have church there. But he said no, he wouldn't do it because there's a significant job to do in this city. Amen? And there is. So congratulations on your sacrifice, the vision that was accomplished, the sacrifice of time and money and sweat and prayer that you offered up to the living God, your determination to finish the building under the leadership of your vision team, under the leadership of your building team, and under the vision of Don Riggs, who was really kind of going through that transition period of time, and he was the guy that kind of put all of that, put the glue together with him, and you saw this accomplished. So I praise God for what he has done, great things he hath done. Amen. And so you are in giving glory. Giving glory. Amen. And so you're in your meeting place. You're in your building. You're in this structure. And I want to talk about that a little bit because this is the meeting place for God's building. The meeting place for God's building. That's what it is. A vision come true. And I think that's significant because I quite frankly, in over 40 years of ministry, I can't believe I'm old enough to say over 40 years of ministry. I thought only old people could say that. Why are you laughing? I'm one of them, I know. But over 40 years, this is the only church in a transition period of time that I have seen accomplish what you've accomplished. And so my hat's off to you because you've been faithful in your service to the Lord, and in your faithful to do this. Praise God. Amen. What a wonderful thing this has been. But this structure, the beams, the I-beams that have gone into this, the metal, the wooden beams, all of the concrete, the mortar, everything that's there. And I'll try and straighten this out where you don't hear those whiskers. That should be better. Is that better? Okay, now you can turn me down a little bit too, all right? So we get turned down here. All of this is not the real church. It's a building. And it's a building that you make what you want it to be. But the Bible says that you are the building. You're the real building. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there'd been kind of an argument going on here, and some was saying, I'm of Apollos, and Peter was saying, I don't want to take credit for that. So he begins to speak, and I'm going to look at three quick passages. He said, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, and now suddenly he leaves an agricultural term and gets into an architectural term when he says, you are God's building. This is a structure that God's building that is filled with life, that is a living organism, meets in every single week. But you are the living church, the living building of Almighty God. And he talks about that when he says to us, don't you know that you are yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? You are the building. Say, I am the building. And you are the building. You are the building that God is still continuing to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I thought about this building, I thought about, what does this building do? What are some of the significant things about it? And number one, it's shelter. It's shelter from the storm. It's shelter from the cold. It's shelter from the heat. In this part of the country, it's shelter from the rain. And you get in the car, out of the car, and you put your umbrellas. Well, no, if you really are from Washington or Oregon, you never carry an umbrella. We just don't need it, do we? But visitors do. But we come into the church and we're sheltered from the rain. We're sheltered from the storm and all of the cold. It provides a shelter. It's a place of safety. It's a place that's free from intrusion, from people on the streets. It's a sanctuary from fearing all things. And it's not only that, it is a secure place, a place where we can meet without fear. Isn't that the picture of the church of Jesus Christ? Isn't that the picture of the living body of Jesus Christ? One that provides safety, one that provides security, one that provides shelter out in the community. And God has called us to be the building place of Almighty God. It's also, he says, not only you're a building, but don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? A building has four walls and a roof. A temple is set aside for a purpose. It is usually a religious purpose. Now this, and by the way, I'm not very religious, so this building is not set aside for a religious purpose. This is set aside for a sacred purpose, a purpose of faith for the people of God to come and be instructed and then go out from this place and be the church that you are when you are together as well. And God has called you to do that. So he says, you are the temple of the living God. This place is a meeting place for the temple of the living God. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it talks a little bit more about the temple of God. It talks about the building of God. And he says, consequently, and he was talking to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, as well as the Gentiles. It looked like the Gentiles and the Jews would never get together. And for all practical purposes, they didn't. But those who came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior let all of the barriers being broken down. And he said, he has brought peace to those who are in hostility. He brought that. He made them one. And he says to them, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Now, here's a play on words. Every one of these words comes from the same place. And so he says, members of God's household, built, same word, on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. He said Christ is a chief cornerstone. He is the founder. He is the one that holds it all together. And then he talks about the foundation that is laid upon the apostles and the prophets' teaching that is really the teaching of Jesus Christ. And we can lay no other foundation other than the foundation of Jesus Christ. But upon that foundation, God is building his church. Listen to what he says. In him, the whole building, there's a third word for the word building, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like you and I are the rafters. You and I are the walls. You and I are the, we're just the church building, only we're alive. There is no music in those walls except the music you put into them. There is no celebration in the space in this auditorium except for the celebration you put here. There is no joy in the hallways except for the joy you put there. You are the living church of God, the dwelling place of the Almighty. For he goes on to say that in the Lord and in him you two are being built together. He's bringing you together one by one, piece by piece, and making you, listen to what he says, to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I congratulate you on this building, but I congratulate you more on being the obedient people of God, for you really are the church building, a building that is being built up with the Lord by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have plans to build another building back here. You've just gotten this one. You're celebrating this one. You want to build another one. If you look at this passage of Scripture, God says, I'm not through building your church yet. I'm going to take every joint. We're going to go out and we're going to reach new. We're going to lead. We're going to continue to build the church. We're going to put another room on. We're going to put another piece on. That's another person who comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, as you go out and be the church during the week. And so he bases what we are upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This structure is where the real church comes to meet. This structure is where the people who are the temple of God, because they have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within them, come and meet together. Praise God for the building. It's exciting. You don't have to pack up and you don't have to unpack and pack up every week any longer. Isn't that great? You just got it here. Now there's certain things that still have to be done here, but you don't have to bring a truckload of stuff in every weekend. So celebrate that, rejoice in it, and be glad. There's one last passage of Scripture that I want to look at, and that's found over in 1 Peter when you go, and he talks about you and me there again as the dwelling place of God, as the building of God. Now, you all know me, and if you're new since I left, you know that I try and get you involved a little bit. I want you to say this. Say, we are the building of God. Say that with me. We are the building of God. Now say this. We are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. And you are. You're the temple of God. He has made you that because of his Son, and he dwells within you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he speaks to us again when he talks about a living stone, when he says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also are living stones. Living stones because you have been birthed by the living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. He goes on to say that this stone, they stumble because they disobey the message. They don't listen to what Jesus has had to say, which is also what they're destined for. But then he goes on to say, you, the building place of God, the building of God, the dwelling place of God, the temple of God, you, he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. You belong to God. He is yours and you are his. Why? Why be a building place of God? Listen to this. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful, wonderful light. And once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are the people of God, living stones. And he's saying, I want you to show forth my praise. I want you to show forth light. I want you, because we are the glory of God. The church is the glory of God. The glory of God was manifest to us through Jesus Christ. And then he declared that we are his glory, to manifest Jesus Christ to the city that you live in, to the area that you live in. You are a living stone, part of all of that. God has declared you. Say, I'm a living stone. He didn't say you were a rock. He's the rock. Amen? He's the rock, and we are a living stone. He goes on to tell us as we think about it that we are that building. Now, I've been to places all over the world where there's some beautiful structures. I've been to Jerusalem, and I've seen the Mosque of Omar. I've seen in Nazareth the Church of the Annunciation, and it's beautiful spire. When you look up into it, it's like looking into a lily. I've seen that. I've gone to Istanbul and seen their great buildings of religion. I've seen those things. And not too long ago, I was in Rhode Island, and we were visiting the mansions there. My wife likes to go to old buildings. Maybe that's why she married. I'm old. I'm an old building, okay? And so we went and visited those places, and I wasn't too enthusiastic about it until after I got there. We looked at one of the Vanderbilt's homes, and it had 135,000 square feet in it. It had a kitchen nearly as large as the building we're in here. It was huge. And when you look around there, you look at all of the ostentatiousness, I call it. And then we went to another mansion, and it was large yet, 180,000 square feet. It had gold on some of the woodwork there. The woodwork wasn't woodwork. It was gold, and there were ivory walls in it. It was phenomenal. But when I walked away, I had this impression. There was no one living there. There was no one occupying the building. All it did was represent the wealth of a few people over 100 years ago, but the building was dead. Without the living church of God in this place, this building has no life in it at all. You, the living church of God, the building of God, the temple of God, you put the life into this place. And I've been around enough around you all to know that you do put life into this place. Amen? And God has been good to you. So this place is made of living stones. You're being built into a spiritual house. And just as those buildings declared the former or the wealth of a former group of people, this building declares the praises of God because you meet here. And when people drive by on this street day in and day out, they see a building that has been built by the people of God, and it represents a testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. And I would say to you, congratulations, living church, living building, living people, and living temple. It's been here. And so we come to celebrate not just this building, the structure, the place where you meet, the place that we hope is filled over and over again with new living stones. And that's why the church doesn't stay here. That's why it's called a living building, because God dwells in you, and you dwell in the community that God has called you out, and wherever you go. So today in this building, we celebrate what God has done. Tomorrow, we go out into the world and celebrate what He's done so that we become a living praise to Him to bring light into the world so that they can see God's mercy and see God's grace. And to bring Him glory, glory. That's what He's asked us to do. So congratulations on what you've allowed God to do through you. I praise Him for that. This is a beautiful building. Celebrate it, but celebrate being who you are, the real building of Almighty God. And then tomorrow, go out and be His glory. Would you do that? He says, and we sang earlier today, that He's done great things, but there's still a great work to do in the city. I would share this with you. Great things He has done. We would all agree upon that. God has brought us to this place of celebrating. He's brought new people here. Many of you weren't in this church 6 months ago when I was here. What? Let me see some of your hands. How many of you have just come to the church the last 3 or 4 months? Just slip up your hand real quick. Wow, look at that. Great things God is doing. Amen? And you're living stones that have been added to the building. Amen? And so we can praise God. And I would say to you then this. what lies behind us, according to the poet, pales in comparison to that which lies ahead as you allow God to do great things through you, the building, in this city, in reaching people for Jesus Christ. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for letting me be part of this, for those 10 or 11 months that I was with you. And I love you, and I pray for you. May God bless you, the real building of God.
Dwayne, thank you very, very much. Great to have you back. Thank you for your ministry here. It means a great deal to us. Thank you. I have some closing comments. You're not surprised, are you? I was wondering what would happen if we actually did dig up that time capsule 40 years from now. And I wonder what they would be saying about us as a church. Would they remember us? Would they remember that we're here? That we've been here for 40 years? Would your name be written on that? Would somebody stand up in front of the camera and say, "Thank God for Sally because she changed my life through Jesus Christ"? Or are we like these two men? I picked this because the mayor was here. He had to leave early so you can celebrate with him. I said that these two men were sent out on special assignment from the mayor's office. They were working for the best of the city. One would dig a hole and he would dig, dig, dig. The other would come behind him and fill the hole. He would fill, fill, fill. Those two men worked furiously, one digging a hole, the other filling it again. A man was watching from the sidewalk and couldn't believe how hard these men were working, but he couldn't understand what they were doing. Finally, he had to ask them. He said to the hole digger, "I appreciate how hard you work, but what are you doing? You dig a hole and your partner comes behind you and fills it again." The hole digger replied, "Oh yeah, must look a little funny, but the guy who plants the tree is sick today." The first service laughed a lot more than that. I wonder if sometimes we aren't kind of like that. That as church, we forget what we're doing. We get so caught up in church, we get so caught up in building, we get so caught up in all of the ramifications and the ins and outs of this, but we forgot that there was a tree to be planted. It's easy to do. It's easy to get in your car and just come here Sunday after Sunday and wake up and realize that 40 years has gone by and we forgot to plant a tree. We dug a lot of holes. We filled a lot of holes. But we forgot to plant the tree. Now, in the first service, it was here where I tore an entire page out of my message and threw it away, and I got criticized for it. So I'm going to give you the full load. We know a lot about changing individual lives. As evangelicals, we know a whole lot about helping individuals come to faith. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the price for our sins, and by faith we take him into our hearts, and he changes me, he changes you, right? Right, he changed me. It's the gospel. It's what we live for. It's all about why we exist. We, the people of God, exist to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's more to it than that. Sometimes I wonder if that's not just preparing the hole. Sometimes I wonder if there's not more to our ministry. That down in our DNA, there's something more that has to take place. There has to be something that we push on through. That this life of Christ of mine has to find expression. And here it is, where we live, in the city. What good is it if this building keeps us in? This building exists to send us out. We have in our DNA the ability to fit into the fabric of the city. We are not simply living in the city, we are part of the city. We have responsibilities to the city. By the way, God is the God of geography. Do you remember the New Testament? What does he say to the epistle to the Corinthians? Where did they live? This isn't a trick question, folks. To the people to the Colossians, where did they live? Colossae. To the Ephesians, where did they live? And the intention was, in my opinion, the intention was that people come to faith, the body of Christ is healed and their sins are forgiven, and they make an impact, they influence and transform the geography where they live. That's our position today. Not only are we living stones, as Duane said, but we have a responsibility to this city and to the cities that surround us. There's coming a day that the Lord is going to make right all the details of our world. And we're going to allow him to see the living out of what his expression of values for a geography is all about. I'd like to read that to you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 65. Turn in your Hebrew Bible to Isaiah chapter 65. It's a picture of where God wants to take us. Now, I am not saying that we're going to fully get there in this life. I'm not saying that we're going to even get a little bit of it. But I think as believers, those of us who are born in Christ, we ought to have a goal. We ought to see where we're going. Starting in verse 19. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, and there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. No longer will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days, for the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 shall be thought of as accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the lifetime of a tree, so shall be the life and days of my people. And my chosen ones shall wear out the works of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they and their offspring are those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. What a phenomenal picture of what it might look like in a city when it's completely transformed by the Almighty God. I wonder if some of that is not where we're headed. Is it possible that because the body of Christ, because of living stones, because we are not trapped by the building, but we are actually rolling out of here to do ministry among the city, I wonder if we couldn't reach some of those qualities. Is it possible that there could be justice in our culture? Is it possible that there could be parents who know how to parent and families that are strong and resilient in Christ? Is it possible that the young could be caring for the old? That we have deep concern for our widows and for our widowers? Is it possible that we could have fair wages for honest work? That there could be security and safety for people who live here? Is it possible under the influence of Christ and the church that there is really a right to life, including the unborn? Is it possible that the immigrant can find a new family in a new country? That we could eliminate hunger? That we could cease being violent? Now, I know it seems a little bit unthinkable to us right now, but I believe that that's part of why we're here, is to move out and work towards that. If we were to take it seriously, what would this church look like? And what would the inheritance that we leave for our children and their children, their grandchildren? I wonder if some of the disciplines that we need to get a hold of right now are simply the everyday behaviors that we as believers need to express towards the city around us. What would happen if we as believers were praying for our city councilman, for our mayor? If we were praying for our law enforcement officers, if we were praying for our firemen and the officers therein? What would happen if we had someone called to the city council meetings who went every time and sat in the back and prayed for those people and then reported back to us what God was doing in our city? I wonder if God would call some of us to that ministry. It might look like we would be taking up ministry towards our schools, praying for the staff, for the principals, for the students, being a part of the PTA. I wonder what would happen if we showed up every Friday to pray for the principals and for those schools and for the children inside the building. I wonder if God maybe has not called some of you to that ministry. I wonder what would happen if God would call us to the convalescent and retirement homes around us. I wonder what would happen if we set up counseling services that people could really afford. I wonder what would happen if we continue to take our student services seriously as we are right now. A third of our population, folks, are under the age of 18. Powerful influence for us, those who are changed in Christ, to be able to reach out and say to those students, to talk about what is purity, to talk about the value of virginity, to talk about the value of marriage. I wonder what would happen if God would call us to continue and develop our ability to feed the hungry. I know we're up here on the plateau, and it's so hard for us to think that there are hungry people around us. Brothers and sisters, there are hungry people all around us. We just don't see them. I wonder what would happen if God called us to that kind of ministry. I wonder what would happen if God built into the soul of men and women to start thinking about how we create short and long-term housing for single mothers and for the displaced people of our culture. Would God call one of us to that? You see, folks, it's one thing to have our lives changed in Christ. That's important. Don't get me wrong. That is the highest order of business as evangelicals in my life, in your life, to introduce you to Christ as the living Savior who died on the cross. That is the highest order of business. But in lots of ways, that's just the whole. In lots of ways, that's where we begin. 40, 50, 60 years from now, what the people are going to want to see is the tree. They want to see who we have influenced. It's our calling as the church. Please, let's not let this building keep us in. Why don't we let this building equip us to go transform our city? That's what it's all about. We have the privilege today to be able to stand before the Lord and kind of gather our thoughts and give all of this back to Him. And it's a rather interesting thing, isn't it, that the God of the universe allows us to create this, and that's really great. I'm excited about it, thrilled about it. And yet, then He asks for it back. Well, that's what He does. He's just like that. He's going to give us all rewards when we see Him again. He's going to give us rewards, and then we're going to lay them down as worship to Him. That's what we're going to do today. So here's how we're going to do this. We're going to invite people forward, and we're going to stand here before the Lord, and we're simply going to give this building back to Christ. Thank Him for our salvation. Thank Him for what He has done. And we're going to say, Lord, You can have it all back as long as You promise to animate, send, call, produce Christian ministry out of this building. That's what we're going to do. After that, I have a little bit of a presentation, and then we'll be singing our last song. But here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like to invite Duane, if you would come up. Duane is going to be doing our dedication prayer. I would like to invite the elders, if they would come on up. I've asked the elders to be responsible for a couple of them praying in the process of this. Mike, are you going to grab the mic for... And if you would like, anybody in the audience, if you would like to come up and be a part of this experience up here, I would invite you just to come on down and join us down here. So if you're new among us, that's okay. You don't have to do this. But if you would like to, we'd love to have you. So just come on down. Join us down here as we dedicate this building to Christ. So come on. You don't have to be bashful. Just come on down. You can just make an arch right out here in front of the platform. Wow, it's a good-looking woman here. Come on down. I'm going to get in trouble here. If you would like to be a part of our prayer down here in front, just please come on down. Our job, again, is to thank the Lord for what He's done here. Our job is to release this building back to Him and give it to Him for His honor and glory, for Him to call and to equip and to send out of this building as He chooses. So let's join us in prayer. Two of the elders are going to pray. Duane's going to pray, and then I'm going to close.
Father God, we just can't thank You enough this morning, Lord God, for Your faithfulness, Lord, for Your provision, for Your vision, Lord God, that You've given us. Lord God, as we look back, we're so thankful that when we doubted or when we questioned, You provided, Lord God. You led the way. And Lord God, we just cannot thank You enough today. As we stand in this building, we think ahead of where You will lead us, Lord God, and we thank You with anticipation and excitement, Lord God, for where we'll go. So Lord God, help us today to not be held inside this building, Lord God, but to be transformed and equipped to go out and make a difference in the world, Lord God, to impact the people of Sammamish and the Plateau and the surrounding communities, Lord God, for Jesus Christ, and to build dynamic disciples, Lord God, that we can continue to grow, Lord God, and give You glory and give You honor, Lord God. And so today, we want to thank You, Lord God, we want to praise You, we want to give You the glory, and we want to give You the honor in Christ's name.
Father God, You have built this brick and mortar here, Father, through Your hand. Father, it's a miracle that we are even here today. We looked at property 20 years ago, Father, and we couldn't even touch it. And we looked even at this property, Father, and we didn't see how it would be possible. But, Father, in Your court in heaven, You knew, and You had appointed this property for us. And so we thank You, Father God, and Father... Even more than that, this church is built on the lives of miracles, Father God. And they may have names like Katie and Charlie Elmer and Aaron and Ryan Sneesby and Daniel Cole and others, Father God. And yet, Father, the miracle is not through any works that they or any of us can do that we would boast of our good works, Father, but it's through the miracle that You have redeemed their hearts and their souls through Christ, the greatest miracle and gift of all. And so we thank You, Father God, that in the design from the foundation of the world, You appointed us to become heirs with Christ. So, Father God, may that inspire our hearts, and may we be inspired, Father, even as those men that walked with Jesus on the road to serve You with a renewed vigor and a renewed heartfelt love for You, that we can reach out beyond these walls of brick and mortar to the lost souls, Father God, that even You would be calling right now. And may, Father God, we could just lead them to Your throne, to Calvary. And Father, we would just give You glory then for that. So bless us, Father God, as we reach out with a renewed heart, a renewed excitement, and a renewed attitude of love to You, in Christ's name. Duane?
Father, as we
think of when David set all the Messiah things aside for the temple. Lord, he simply said, who are we to be able to give so generously? Everything we have given has come from your good hand. Lord, you own it all. This building that we meet in is not ours, it's yours. And you have called us to be stewards, people who use the resources well for the meeting place of God. And we would ask you to expand the use that it might minister in many ways to this community so that people could see the glory of God, your building at work inside these walls. And so, Lord, we ask today, and it's already been done, but we would ask, Lord, that you help us dedicate this building to your honor and your glory in every single way it's used. But even more than that, we dedicate the people of God to be the people of your glory as little stones reaching out for other building materials to build the church of God. So, Lord, thank you for this building. Thank you for the building of God. And we pray, Father, that you would expand our hearts to be more grateful tomorrow than even we are today. Use this place. Fill it with your people who have your spirit within them, who are becoming a spiritual building. Use it to further and advance the kingdom of God. And we will praise you forever and ever in Christ's name.
Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for letting us play in the ministry that you have put into motion. Thank you for calling us to positions of sharing the Lord, sharing the gospel, sharing justice, sharing the good things of what it means to be a Christian. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this time. Take this congregation, use it. Lord, we give this building back to you and ask that you would take it, bless it, animate it, help it equip us, the true church of God, for the work of service. We thank you in Christ's name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Is that the best you can do it? All God's people said,
amen.
Amen.